Welcome back to the Divine Office podcast on this beautiful Feast of St. Stephen. I'm looking forward to praying with you this combined office of readings and morning prayer. So since this is the very beginning of the day and the first hour, let's begin with the invitatory, which again helps us snap out of whatever's on our mind and prepare to be in a time of recollection and prayer. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. We'll choose Psalm 67 today because it's about God looking at us and us receiving grace from looking on God's face. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the newborn Christ, who has given the glorious crown to St. Stephen. So only a couple of minutes, and that was our first part, the invitatory to the whole office that's said at the first hour of the day. Now, if you're using the Liturgy of the Hours, four volumes, there can be some extra ribbons here. I have to keep flipping between the Common of Saints and the others, but I believe it simplifies things and makes it easier. Let's begin with the Office of Readings with its hymn, Jesus the Christ Child brought new life to all men, and in his manhood conquered death and evil. Risen resplendent in the Father's glory, he reigns forever. Stephen the deacon was the first to follow Christ's great example, done to death by sinners. Through all his actions and his words were prompted by the Lord's Spirit. Enemies' anger destined him to perish, stoned by his hearers, victim of their fury. Yet like his Savior in his dying moments, pleading their pardon, witness to Jesus, help us, holy Stephen, mourning and contrite, to attain the kingdom. Gain us the graces which we need to bring us safely to heaven. Of the same nature as the blessed martyrs, let us sing praises to our God Almighty, who honored Stephen with a martyr's glory, first among thousands. Amen. Now we begin the next part after the psalm, which is the psalmody, where we pray the ancient hymns and prayers of Israel, the Psalms. Now, because this is still the celebration of Christmas Day, we're going to be repeating our maximum solemnity and joy Psalms throughout this entire time. They're from Sunday, week one in the book. My soul has held fast to you, my God. For your sake, I endured death by stoning. Would be part of this for morning prayer, but since we're starting with the office of readings, we need to go and get Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And the Psalms here are taken from the Common of Martyrs. Why this tumult among nations, among peoples, this useless murmuring? They arise, the kings of the earth. Princes plot against the Lord and his anointed. Come, let us break off their fetters. Come, let us cast off their yoke. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord is laughing them to scorn. Then he will speak in his anger. His rage will strike them with terror. It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I will announce the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. It is I who have begotten you this day. Ask, and I shall bequeath you the nations, put the ends of the earth in your possession. With a rod of iron you will break them, shatter them like a potter's jar." Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, O kings, understand. Take warning, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with awe, and trembling pay him your homage, lest he be angry and you perish, for suddenly his anger will blaze. Come. Saint Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Blessed are they who put their trust in God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, you gave the peoples of the world to be the inheritance of your only Son. You crowned him as King of Zion, your holy city, and gave him your church to be his bride. As he proclaims the law of your eternal kingdom, may we serve him ever more faithfully, and so share his royal power forever. Stephen fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." Psalm 11. In the Lord I have taken my refuge. How can you say to my soul, "Fly like a bird to its mountain"? See the wicked one bracing his bow. They are fixing their arrows on the string to shoot upright men in the dark. Foundations once destroyed, what can the just do? Stephen fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord whose throne is in heaven. His eyes look down on the world, his gaze tests mortal men. Stephen fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." The Lord tests the just and the wicked, the lover of violence he hates. He sends fire and brimstone on the wicked. He sends a scorching wind as their lot. The Lord is just and loves justice. The upright shall see his face. Stephen fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Stephen fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." And this is the third one for the Office of Readings in the Psalmody. Antiphon 3. No one was able to resist the wisdom of blessed Stephen, for the Holy Spirit spoke through him. Psalm 17. Lord, hear a cause that is just. Pay heed to my cry. Turn your ear to my prayer. No deceit is on my lips. From you may my judgment come forth. Your eyes discern the truth. You search my heart. You visit me by night. You test me and you find in me no wrong. My words are not sinful as are men's words. No one was able to resist the wisdom of blessed Stephen, for the Holy Spirit spoke through him. I kept from violence because of your word. I kept my feet firmly in your paths. There was no faltering in my steps. I am here and I call. You will hear me, O God. Turn your ear to me. Hear my words. Display your great love, you whose right hand saves your friends from those who rebel against them. No one was able to resist the wisdom of blessed Stephen, for the Holy Spirit spoke through him. Guard me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the violent attack of the wicked. My foes encircle me with deadly intent, their hearts tight shut, their mouths speak proudly. They advance against me, and now they surround me. Their eyes are watching to strike me to the ground, as though they were lions ready to claw, or some young lion crouched in hiding. No one was able to resist the wisdom of blessed Stephen, for the Holy Spirit spoke through him. Lord, arise, confront them. Strike them down. Let your sword rescue my soul from the wicked. Let your hand, O Lord, rescue me from men whose reward is in this present life. You give them their fill of your treasures. They rejoice in abundance of offspring and leave their wealth to their children. As for me, in my justice I shall see your face and be filled when I awake with the sight of your glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. No one was able to resist the wisdom of blessed Stephen, for the Holy Spirit spoke through him. Affliction and distress surround me, yet your law is my delight, introduces our lesson from the Office of Readings. So now we have the readings in the Office of Readings, part of the office. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 8 through 7, on into the very end of chapter 6. The martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was a man filled with grace and power, who worked great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of Roman freedmen, that is, the Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Caesarea, and Asia, would undertake to engage Stephen in debate, but they proved no match for the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. They persuaded some men to make the charge that they had heard him speaking blasphemies against Moses and God, and in this way they incited the people, the elders and the scribes. Altogether they confronted him, seized him, and led him off to the Sanhedrin. There they brought in false witnesses who said, "This man never stops making statements against the holy place and the law. We have heard him claim that Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses handed down to us." The members of the Sanhedrin who sat there stared at him intently. Throughout, Stephen's face seemed like that of an angel. The high priest asked whether the charges were true. To this, Stephen replied, "My brothers, fathers, listen to me. Our fathers in the desert had the meeting tent as God prescribed it when he spoke to Moses, ordering him to make it according to the pattern he had seen. The next generation of our fathers inherited it. Under Joshua, they brought it into the land during the conquest of those peoples whom God drove out to make room for our fathers. So it was until the time of David, who found favor with God and begged that he might find a dwelling place for the house of Jacob. It was Solomon, however, who constructed the building for that house. Yet the Most High does not dwell in buildings made by human hands. For as the prophet says, 'The heavens are my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house can you build me?' asks the Lord. What is my resting place to be like? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised and hard in ears, you are always opposing the Holy Spirit just as your fathers did before you. Was there ever any prophet whom your fathers did not persecute? In their day they put to death those who foretold the coming of the Just One. Now you in turn have become his betrayers and murderers. You who received the law through the ministry of angels have not observed it. Those who listened to his words were stung to the heart. They ground their teeth in anger at him." Stephen, meanwhile, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked to the sky above and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. "Look," he exclaimed, "I see an opening in the sky, and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand." The onlookers were shouting aloud, holding their hands over their ears as they did so. Then they rushed at him as one man, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. The witnesses, meanwhile, were piling their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As Stephen was being stoned, he could be heard praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And with that he died. Saul, for his part, concurred in the act of killing. Let us take it. Responsory prayer. While the Jews were stoning Stephen, God's servant, the heavens opened before him, and he saw, and entered in. Happy the man to whom the heavens opened, as the stones crashed upon him from the depths of heaven. The living splendor shone on him. Happy the man to whom the heavens opened. Take a moment of sacred silence to reflect on this story and consider what happened in its action. From a sermon by St. Fulgentius of Rupsi, gives us another second part of this lesson. The armament of love. Yesterday we celebrated the birth in time of our eternal King. Today we celebrate the triumphant suffering of his soldier. Today our King, clothed in his robe of flesh, left his place in the Virgin's womb and graciously visited the world. Today his soldier leaves the tabernacle of his body and goes triumphantly to heaven. Our King, despite his exalted majesty, came in humility for our sake, yet he did not come empty-handed. He brought his soldiers a great gift that not only enriched them, but also made them unconquerable in battle, for it was the gift of love, which was to bring men to share in his divinity. He gave of his bounty, yet without any loss to himself. In a marvelous way, he changed into wealth the poverty of his faithful followers, while remaining in full possession of his own inexhaustible riches. And so the love that brought Christ from heaven to earth raised Stephen from earth to heaven, shone first in the King, yet later shone forth in his soldier. Love was Stephen's weapon by which he gained every battle, and so won the crown signified by his name. His love of God kept him from yielding to the ferocious mob. His love for his neighbor made him pray for those who were stoning him. Love inspired him to reprove those who erred, to make them amend. Love led him to pray for those who stoned him, to save them from punishment. Strengthened by the power of his love, he overcame the raging cruelty of Saul and won his persecutor on earth as his companion in heaven. In his holy and tireless love, he longed to gain by prayer those who he could not convert by admonition. Now at last, Paul rejoices with Stephen, and Stephen he delights in the glory, and with Stephen he delights in the glory of Christ. With Stephen he exalts, with Stephen he reigns. Stephen went first, slain by the stones thrown by Paul, but Paul followed after, helped by the prayer of Stephen. This surely is the true life, my brothers, a life in which Paul feels no shame because of Stephen's death, and Stephen delights in Paul's companionship, for love fills them both with joy. It was Stephen's love that prevailed over the cruelty of the mob, and it was Paul's love that converted the multitude of his sin, that covered the multitude of his sins. It was love that won for both of them the kingdom of heaven. Love indeed is the source of all good things. It is an impregnable defense and the way that leads to heaven. He who walks in love can neither go astray nor be afraid. Love guides him, protects him, brings him to his journey's end. My brothers, Christ made love the stairway that would enable all Christians to climb to heaven. Hold fast to it, therefore, in all sincerity. Give one another practical proof of it, and by your progress in it, make your ascent together. Responsory prayer. Yesterday, the Lord was born on earth that Stephen might be born into heaven. The Lord entered into our world that Stephen might enter into heaven. Yesterday, our King, clothed in our flesh, came forth from the Virgin's womb to dwell among us. The Lord entered into our world that Stephen might enter into heaven. Now, seeing as we're combining the office with morning prayer, let us also continue this beautiful celebration. But you can see even that second reading, and I'm not a real fan of Fulgentius of Rupsi, by the way, but he really had a great preaching from the Holy Spirit. And it's just a reminder, for instance, that every time that we go out to use words to tell others about Christ, the Holy Spirit has to be involved. Just like I'm sure he prayed about this homily when Fulgentius wrote this. You know, it's always a partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's always the Holy Spirit speaking through someone there's a special gift or a special spiritual gift that empowers and builds on the witness and the life that we give, which is why there are so many rituals like ordination and confirmation that are around witnessing and preaching in various forms. So let us continue praying this morning as we enter into the beautiful works of morning prayer for our combined office. My soul has held fast to you, my God. For your sake, I suffered death by stoning. O God, you are my God. For you I long. Psalm 63. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy. On my bed, I remember you. On you, I muse through the night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, Creator of unfailing light, give that same light to those who call to you. May our lips praise you, our lives proclaim your goodness, and our works give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul has held fast to you, my God. For your sake I suffered death by stoning. Now we also pray. Antiphon 2. Stephen saw the heavens open. He saw and entered in. Happy the man to whom the heavens opened. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. You heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters above the heavens, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. All you hosts of the Lord, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord. All you winds, bless the Lord. Fire and heat, bless the Lord. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Dew and rain, bless the Lord. Frost and chill, bless the Lord. Ice and snow, bless the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. Light and darkness, bless the Lord. Lightnings and clouds, bless the Lord. Let the earth bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. Everything growing from the earth, bless the Lord. You springs, bless the Lord. Seas and rivers, bless the Lord. You dolphins and all water creatures, bless the Lord. All you birds of the air, bless the Lord. All you beasts, wild and tame, bless the Lord. You sons of men, bless the Lord. O Israel, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Priests of the Lord, bless the Lord. Servants of the Lord, bless the Lord. Spirits and souls of the just, bless the Lord. Holy men of humble heart, bless the Lord. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us praise and exalt him above all forever. Blessed are you, Lord, in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious and exalted above all forever. Stephen saw the heavens open. He saw and entered in. Happy the man to whom the heavens opened. Behold, I see the heavens open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Almighty God. Psalm 149, the joy of God's holy people. Sing a new song to the Lord, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel rejoice in its maker. Let Zion's sons exult in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the poor with salvation. Let the faithful rejoice in their glory, shout for joy and take their rest. Let the praise of God be on their lips and a two-edged sword in their hand, to deal out vengeance to the nations and punishment on all the peoples, to bind their kings in chains and their nobles in fetters of iron. to carry out the sentence preordained. This honor is for all his faithful. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wow, I just noticed what a beautiful sunrise we're having here in Tucson. It's such a beautiful sunrise here in Tucson, Arizona. I have to stop to thank God for that. Thank you, God. It's almost like a pinkish purple hue to the sunrise here. Behold, I see the heavens open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Almighty God. And our reading, very short, again from Acts 6. It is not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Look around your own number, brothers, for 7 men acknowledged to be deeply spiritual and prudent, and we shall appoint them to this task. This will permit us to concentrate on prayer and the ministry of the word. The proposal was unanimously accepted by the community. Responsory prayer. The Lord is my strength, and I shall sing his praise. The Lord is my strength, and I will sing his praise. The Lord is my Savior, and I shall sing his praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my Savior, and I will sing his praise. So just to briefly note, even though we do this the official way to show you, to kind of do it the official way, is less important than being able to use the Word of God and the reflections in the tradition of the Church to pray. So even before I started this podcast, I was doing a paraliturgy where all we did was look at the first and second reading from the Office of Readings. And I'm still doing that paraliturgy. I tried to combine it with this so that it wouldn't take up all my time. But you see my point? These are beautiful prayers in the Church's prayer book. And the hardest thing for people, honestly, is not getting caught up in, okay, there's all these prayers I have to pray in order, in sequence, according to a specific rule. Well, forget about specific rules. Forget about it. You can just listen to me pray it, and you can make your own, that is your own prayer as you go along. And then when you get your own book or you look at I Breviary, just scan through it with your eyes and find something that stands out to you and pray from that. That's so much better for you, and that's what the Second Vatican Council wants us to do. It wants us to find new ways to pray from the Word of God and find new ways to incorporate this ancient form of prayer, the Liturgy of the Hours, into our daily lives. It doesn't have to be morning prayer or evening prayer according to the ritual, according to the rubric, according to the official celebration of the liturgy. It's just as much prayer of the Church when you do the part that you can focus on and take in. So that's just really important to stop and say that out loud. The gates of heaven opened out to blessed Stephen, and he was crowned first of martyrs. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, in the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The gates of heaven opened out to blessed Stephen, and he was crowned first of martyrs. Intercessions. Our Savior's faithfulness is mirrored in the fidelity of his witnesses who shed their blood for the word of God. Let us praise him in remembrance of them. You redeemed us by your blood. Your martyrs freely embraced death in bearing witness to the faith. Give us the true freedom of the Spirit, O Lord. Your martyrs professed their faith by shedding their blood. Give us a faith, O Lord, that is constant and pure. Your martyrs followed in your footsteps by carrying the cross. Help us to endure courageously the misfortunes of life. Your martyrs washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. Help us to avoid the weaknesses of the flesh and worldly allurements. And we pray especially for Father Jim Blout's intentions and for his needs. We also pray for your personal intentions, for what you are desiring most. As we say, you redeemed us by your blood. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, today we celebrate the entrance of St. Stephen into eternal glory. He died praying for those who killed him. Help us to imitate his goodness and to love our enemies. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So on this beautiful morning, I'm just going to make a few tiny remarks about ordination, with a view towards St. Stephen and what we read about him in his diaconate. I'll be restrained and to the point and quick. So ordination is such a wonderful spiritual gift, and it confers so many privileges that people in our church tend to fight about it a lot. You know, one of the really zinging quarrels in our church right now is about whether women can be ordained deacons or not, and what all our history on this and our tradition has to say, and why. But the church has always had shepherds, even before Christ Jesus came. Moses was a shepherd. Aaron was a shepherd. There were many shepherds in Israel. King David was a shepherd, and even the Catechism acknowledges that in part 4. So there have always been shepherds. It's not something that we did because we were a medieval church and we were grasping for power. Although it's true that sometimes ordination is abused, and it becomes more about the ordained minister than it becomes about Jesus and making Jesus present. So what is ordained ministry? Ordained ministry is a continuation of Jesus Christ, the ordained one, who got his ordination from being the precious Son of the Father, taking on flesh to be the sacrament of salvation, and working with his hands and preaching with his lips in the power of the Holy Spirit, and ultimately offering his own life in sacrifice to cleanse and save us. So there are all different ranks. And the reading that we read in the office of readings today was actually the traditional, what the Catholic tradition has traditionally regarded as the institution of the ministry of the diaconate. So there are all different ministries. It's really interesting if you study history. It's not just bishop, priest, and deacon that are considered to be ordained ministries, but there's many ordained ministries in church history. And only recently did Catholic ministers and popes and theologians try to cut everything down gradually to bishop, priest, and deacon. But still, those have always been the major active ministries. So what I mean by active, I mean Stephen goes out and he preaches. He does something active to try to bring about people's conversion. So there's all kinds of ministries, passive prayer ministries, for example. But these are the ones that focus on governing, ruling, and teaching the church in the most active way possible, bishop, priest, and deacon. It's wonderful to see, you know, the wonders and signs that were wrought by Stephen. He was only an assistant. Deacons are only assistants. Deacons are not priests. Deacons don't have the same authority to rule and judge and govern the body of Christ that priests, shepherds, and bishop shepherds do. Not even close. But at the same time, they do have considerable authority. You know, in ancient Rome, deacons had the most authority and they were most closely assimilated to the priesthood compared to anywhere else in the Christian world, because they would oversee 7 districts and they would be in charge of all the church's material wealth. So that's another classic feature that people point to in the Acts 6 story. The apostles received the authority to govern the church, and they also have the material authority over everything else and all the donations that people bring and all the property that they bring, but they give that authority over the property to the deacons to be their assistants and to kind of figure out, okay, now that we have taught you a little bit and you are filled with the Holy Spirit's wisdom, the scripture says already, you know, basically don't do anything I wouldn't do with the church's property. And that was also the privileged role that deacons got the most attention for in ancient Rome is that they would oversee all the church's property. They were even in charge of 7 districts and had authority over everyone. So it was a major position modeled after this story in Acts 6. Deacons don't preside at the Eucharist. They don't preside at sacraments that require a priestly character. They baptize. Sometimes they bless marriages, but they do not hear confessions or consecrate Holy Communion. They don't forgive sins. So they have to focus their ordained gift of themselves, their ordained gift of their energies, on something besides sacramental ministry. One of the things that they really like to do are lead prayer services like this, lead services of the Word of God, focus on teaching and scholarship and things like that. But they have to find some other niche, because they're not ever going to be able to take over a priest's role as a leader of a community, as a pastor, etc. But Stephen here shows us that when he served, he becomes like a priest. He becomes as great as a priest. Even though he's only an assistant, even though he's only a pastoral assistant and he doesn't have the priestly authority and privileges, he becomes great because he goes out and he serves others. And that is something that we can say, okay, that's the service of the church sacramentalized. That's the service of the entire royal and common priesthood sacramentalized and brought to a higher level. So it's not a matter of, okay, you got blessed in this special ceremony called an ordination, and now you have all these powers. Yes, that's part of it. But rather, Stephen is great because he's at the margins, because he goes out to the widows, to the orphans, to the abandoned, and he gets his power to evangelize, his power to do miracles. Yes, from his ordination to some extent, but people can do that without ordination too. Yes, he gets that. Yes, that shows the icon of the deacon as the minister of blessing and the minister of the priesthood, most closely identified with the priesthood, I should say, without actually being a priest, when he goes out and he does these wonders and signs, just like the apostles did earlier in the Acts of the Apostles. But the point is, for that him, that doesn't spring from being a priest. It springs from him having the authority to act as a leader, to act as an evangelizer. And of course, you can do that too. You know, many Protestant missionaries do that. Many lay ministers do that too. So ordained ministry is crucially important. It's like the rock on which the church is built, in union with Christ, of course. So it's really, really important that people of all classes and groups are included in some degree of this active, of this decisive ministry that we usually identify with Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles. At the same time, did the deacons get their power just by being blessed in a ceremony? No, it's part of an entire lifestyle of service. It's part of an entire consecration of yourself, just like a sister or a brother makes a consecration of himself. And you know, that's why the scripture says they were already filled with wisdom and power, and yet the apostles, I'm sure, prayed for them to be filled with more wisdom when they were blessed and ordained and sent out. So that's really it. Stephen's authority is a much lower level of authority. It's an extension of the apostles' authority to govern, to make decisions, to shepherd people. So deacons are indeed shepherds, but they don't possess the authority to preside as the leader of the community. And then there's also, you know, he becomes great because he went out to the margins, to the people that were widows and orphans, and they were destitute and they were totally in need. And he, again, represents the church, especially all of its preachers, the service of the church sacramentalized, so that what he did then is a model for all of us as we preach about Christ, as we bear witness to Christ. And he's a good model, too, for people who don't have a lot of theological education, because Stephen didn't go through seminary formation. What he did was he spent hours reflecting on Scripture and listening to the teachings of the apostles. And you can do that, too. You don't have to pay a single dollar for it, though education is more important than it was in Stephen's time. It's more important now than it was in Stephen's time. Point is, the Word of God is free of charge. It's something that belongs to the entire body of Christ, not just to professors and elitists, but you do have to give it your best. And for us today, giving it your best To get the teachings of the apostles at least means getting a catechist certification. At least. Maybe taking some low-cost classes from a college or a seminary. I hope that you enjoy this teaching, and I hope that you also really enjoy morning prayer and that you didn't get overwhelmed and bogged down by it.